I get the privilege of talking to you about mission and budget for 2007. And there are times through the year, I have four different times scheduled for 2007 to actually put financial facts in front of you. It's on a quarterly basis to update you as what's going on. But the budget committee and the board came up with a budget that we agree on, and so I'm going to present that to you. And since we are a Bible church, it seemed like I should do something biblical before we do the business. Marty and I are talking that in the next year, we'd like our church services to be more worshipful and less businessy. And so we're going to try to reorganize and do those things a little bit different. But in Revelations, as you and I have been reading through Revelations, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 say this, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know what you have done. I know how hard you have worked and how patient you've been. You are patient. You have suffered for my sake. You have not given up. But this is what I have against you. You do not love me like you did at first. Think how far you have fallen. Turn from your sins and do what you did at first. If you don't turn from your sins, I'll come to you and I'll take your lampstand from its place." As you look at Revelations chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "To the angel at the church of Pergamum." Pergamum. Right. "This is a message from the one who has a sharp two-edged sword." And in verse 18 and 19, "To the angel of the church at Thyatira. This is a message from the Son of God, whose eyes blaze with fire, whose feet shine like polished brass. I know what you do. I know your love, your faithfulness, and your service, and your patience. I know that you are doing more than you did at first." And then I concluded with verse 29 that says, "If you have ears, then listen to what the Spirit says to the churches." So your outline is really simple. Does the Church of the United Brethren in Christ in Kalita have an angel? Do we have an angel? Sure we do. Clarence is sitting here like, yeah, you bet. Seen that guy before. You know? But as you're reading through the Bible with me, and you read Daniel, and Daniel has these conversations with Gabriel. Right? Some of you girls that are doing the Beth Moore stuff, Gabriel works in church calendar. Gabriel's the angel that goes out and does calendar things within the church. When Mary and Joseph are visited by Gabriel and Michael comes, and I think what happens to you and me, maybe it's just me. If it's just me, that wouldn't surprise me that I'm the only one that has this problem, but maybe it's you too, I don't know. We get into the culture that we live in, and we tend to define everything by natural circumstances and natural laws, and we tend to forget that. The truth is, there's four angels at the four corners of the earth, and when God says wind, they make it. And when He says no wind, they don't. And we have a favorable angel right now bringing that nice warm wind in, right? But it's not just a natural cosmetic or a cosmic, yeah, it's cosmic. It's not a natural cosmic thing that just happens. God's angels do that stuff. And I want us to think that way, that we actually have angels watching over us. My Aunt Carol sent me a email the other day, and I happened to be the one checking the email, and when I opened it, Alabama sings there's angels all around us, and there's this cute little story of a doctor who's working really, really hard. His office is just swamped, and there's a banging on his door where he's in with this person, and He finally goes to the door, and there's this little girl saying, "Doctor, you got to come with me right now. My mom's dying. You got to come right now. She's not going to make it till the morning. If you don't come, she's going to die. I need you to come with me now." And the girl is pleading with him so hard that he goes with her. And sure enough, her mom is really sick. And if he wouldn't have went and made a house call, which is out of the normal, he would have died. And the next morning, after he had stayed with her and ministered to her and helped her, you know, she became conscious. And he said, "You know, well, if your daughter wouldn't have come, I wouldn't have come." And she says, "Well, my daughter died some time ago." And that's her picture on the wall. And that's the little girl that came and got this guy. Now that kind of, I cried a whole bunch more with Alabama singing in the background. But I'm one of these weird people that believe there are angels. And there are devils. And there are demons. And I believe we have a favorable angel watching over us at the church. I noticed that I lit the candles and arranged the altar up there, and then Doris, I won't blame you for that. Denise rearranged the candles up there, you know. We've got a lampstand in heaven. We've got an angel that watches over us. And we need to think like that. It's not, even as we do budget. You know, we invited angels to be a part of the budget meeting around my kitchen table. Does Christ know what we've done? Sure. I don't believe in church like Santa Claus. You know? They put a lot of these godly characteristics on Santa Claus. He knows if you've been naughty or nice. Right? Jesus knows what you do. And He cares about what you do. And He cares about what I do. Does He care about budget? Yeah, absolutely. It's been my experience in my 50-plus years, I'm going to turn 56 in January, my 50-plus years, that the two things that seem to mess up relationships the most are sex and money. And you want to have our church get on the map, just come up with a sexual scandal or a financial scandal, and all of a sudden this little church that nobody knows anything about will be known. Right? God cares about money. He cares about how we budget it. He cares about how we give. He cares about that. Jesus cares. Does He know what we've done and how hard some of you have worked and how patiently some of you have lived in this body? Yeah. Sure He does. He cares about that. Now, here's the other side of it. He's got one thing against you. You don't love Him like you did at first. I'm the first one to stand up to say I put that one in there because I get comfortable with my relationship with God. And I don't treat Him like I did at first. Jules and I are getting close to the start-finish line of lap 36. Takes us a year to get around the track. We don't move as fast as we used to, you know. But regularly I'm reminded of the fact that I don't treat Jewel the way I did when I first saw her and decided to love her. You know? She told me this morning, "I nitpick about everything." Wasn't that the word? What was the word? Something. You, what was it? I made a comment. "Oh, you complain about everything. Yashemunaha, you're just a Jewish guy. You're always complaining about something." Anyway, the point is, I need to love her like the first day I saw her and I decided I love that girl and I want to spend the rest of my life with her. And not love her more or less because she says I complain about everything or I nag about everything or whatever the word was. All I remember was everything. Everything. Come on. Ashimon. Anyway. I want you to come back to a relationship of love and God. And as we think about even money, do you love the money more? Are you trying to get it for yourself or are you willing to give it to others? Do you love Him enough to give? Think how far you've fallen. Turn from your sin if you did it first. If you got ears, listen. I will tell you all the time that we are saints. If you have become born again, if God has given you the gift of grace and you've received it just like a Christmas gift and you've become born again, you're a saint. You're not a sinner. You're not garbage. You're a clean vessel. But we need to realize that we live in a garbage can. We're not garbage, but we live in a garbage can. The world around us is full of sin and garbage. And we need to consciously remember that we get dirty. And we've got to talk to God about the sins that we know in our life. Confess them to them. We've got to take regular showers with Him. As a church body, we need to do that. So, that was the whole sermon. I can put your green things away. And before I start any of the numbers and you try to write them all down, I've got them all on a page here for you. And I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to be at the back of the church and hand you one of these when you go out. All the numbers are on here. I didn't give them to you earlier because I know human nature well enough to know that you'll be looking at the page rather than looking at what we're doing. And at the end of it, you won't know what happened because you won't be paying attention. You'll be doing your own thing. So all of us look at this the same way. The first things I want to talk about are missions in our financial report. And we have two different areas that we give to. One of them's local missions, and what's the other one? World, foreign or world missions. We have stuff we do close to home and stuff we do further away from home. Close to home, one of the things we do is Camp Adeline. We provide a cash subsidy to campers that want to go. And last year, we budgeted $1,200. This year, as I led the budget committee, I knocked that down to $500. And what usually happens is if a kid wants to go to camp, we'll pay half of their camp registration or all of it if they want to go. And because camp is small and that, I knocked that down a little bit. We also give to Camp Adeline's general fund. And I'm asking that we budget $3,000 to give to Camp Adeline's general fund. Here's the story behind that. Not very long ago, there was a group of churches called the Rock River Conference. Remember? And we would all give a portion of our income into the conference, and then the conference would give a portion of that income to Camp Adeline. There is no more conference. We happen to be the receivers or the owners of Camp Adeline in our nonprofit. And we give money to their treasurer for the general expenses of Camp Adeline. Actually, if we had $3 million to give them, we could probably fix the place up reasonably nice. But we don't. But we give them a portion. And that's the same as we did last year. Vacation Bible School is what VBS stands for. I couldn't get it all on the line. And we've budgeted the same amount of money as last year, $500. So last year's local missions budget was $4,700. But this year it's in red. I took $700 out of there. And I'll show you where I put it in just a minute. But we give $4,000 a year to local missions. Keep that $4,000 in your mind. Now, as you look at world missions, we give to Jana Hubler. And she happens to be in Macau, China. You have a missionary in Macau, China who is starting churches. She's a church planter and an English translator. She teaches English, but she's a church planter in China. So when you talk to people about our church being a grace-based New Covenant Bible Fellowship, and they say, well, do you give to missions? Yeah. Yeah, we do. We plant churches in China. Think about it. Churches in China. Communist China. It's as red as you girls' sweaters. It's red China. Communist China. And we're planting churches there. Kalita is. Now, last year, we gave her a lump sum of $2,500. Because of some accounting things that I'll explain to you later, I'm leading us in giving her $2,400, which is $100 less. And we're going to do that at $200 per month, which is an accounting thing that will help Lori and it'll help us understand how we're doing at that. But $200 a month we're going to give to her. Miriam is in India. And when you saw those pictures of the beautiful children, that's just one of seven major works that Miriam manages for us. Major works. And we gave her $2,500 last year. This year, we're going to give her $2,400, again, at $200 a month. We all met Jamie Fiedler, fell in love with a girl and her heart to feed the hungry. She's going to work for Feed for the Hungry, to feed the world. She just came back from Guatemala, feeding orphan kids down there. And Uganda, right. And we're going to give to her $100 a month. It's a monthly basis. And then the other thing that we do is we give to our denomination. We give to our denominational headquarters who runs the whole national ministry. And we give them 5% of our gross income after deductions. And what are the deductions? The money we give to missions and the money we put away for a building fund. Now, one of the reasons I'm leading Lori in changing the way we give is for that percentage. Every month, we'll take the monthly money that we've got in, we'll deduct from it the amount of money we give from missions and the money we put away, and what's left we'll give the denomination a 3.5%, which adds up to being last year was like $1,400. So it'll probably be in the teens. We gave to the denomination $1,400, was 3.5% of our giving after the deductions. So it'll probably be in the teens, somewhere between 14 and 19, I would guess. Somewhere in there. Now, this is new. How many of you have heard of Sierra Leone, Africa? Alan gave you these pictures this morning. That's a picture of Billy. Now, the inside straight that you don't probably know about is that Clarence knows this guy. And when Clarence was younger and Billy was younger, he got to disciple him. Billy's going to, all the stories there in what Alan gave you, but he's going to move from the States back to Sierra Leone and take on a major leadership role in that part of the world. We're taking on a missionary in Africa as well. And we're going to do him at the same rate that we do the other folks, $200 a month. So the grand total is I'm leading you to spend $8,000, $8,400 in world missions. Over $8,000. How much did we spend at home? Four. How much are we spending internationally? Over $8,000. I think it's better for us to invest our money someplace else than at home. I think we can do things here that we don't need to budget money for. I think we'll be better off if we give more to others than keep it for ourselves, building us our own swimming pool, our own exercise arena, our own hot tubs, you know. I think we're better off to give it to them. So I'm leading you and giving twice as much money to world missions as there. Now, that's what questions do you have on our missions giving? Before I move to our operating budget. Does all of that make sense to you? You're planting churches in China. You're working with thousands of people at hospitals and orphanages and schools in India. You're developing and reestablishing a work in Sierra Leone, Africa, that Clarence had a hand in starting. And we're feeding hungry people around the world in world missions. Do you think you could remember those four basic things to share with people when they talk to you about our church? And you say, what's your giving like? Well, we give twice as much money to world missions as we do to local missions. Because we believe in what Jesus said, go make disciples. So, is that understandable? Could you communicate that to other people? It's not rocket science, but do you have a good picture of how that works? So you could say that. Oh, here's me in Africa. I was on Julie's computer looking for pictures to put on the PowerPoint, and this picture showed up. You see just to the right of my right hand a hole in the wall? An RPG went through that wall and blew a hole in the wall. If you could see, you know, like now I'm facing you and the back wall is there and the door with the wreath over it, the back wall of that church is completely gone. It's blown out. And just 200 yards on the other side of that blown-out wall is Kenya. And I was there discipling pastors. And when you look at this group over here, the five guys that are over on that side, they speak a language. The four that are down in front speak a language. And the four that I'm with over there, they speak a different language. It is the weirdest thing. You know how much I talk? I would say a sentence. I'd say a sentence. You know, we go to dinner, take forever to pray. You think I pray a long time? Wait till you have to translate it into three other languages. And I didn't even speak in tongues, which probably would have made it a lot more clear. Anyway, world missions. Now here we get to our operating budget. In 2006, for books and Sunday school materials, we budgeted $1,200. We didn't spend nearly that much, so I cut it down to a grand. We have a licensing insurance to do the songs up here and stuff. That's $100. We just left that the same. Commonwealth Edison, we budgeted $25 for them. We bumped that up a little bit. It's a little over $3,000. We're expecting ComEd, and we may be too low at that. Conferences and seminars, we left that at $2,000 a year. Our garbage, we bumped that up $50 to have that trash hauled away. Gifts and flowers, we left that at $500 a year that we give away like that. Our insurance was at $25. We bumped that up to $27. Our janitor is presently at $25. We bumped that up to $3,000 because we think that may cost more. So you see the things in red that I decided to change. I cut money from books and materials, and that's basically because next week when I give you your book for January, I'm going to ask you to give the money to cover it rather than the church underwrite it. I think if you put $10 into the book, you're more likely to read it than if I give it to you free. You know, if you pay $10 to go to the movie, you'll stay awake through it, right? Anyway, and ComEd's going to go up, the garbage is going to go up. See, any questions on that? They're just kind of line item changes that I made. So our LP gas, we actually didn't spend anywhere as near as what we had budgeted, $2,000, so we dropped that to $15,000. I may be off on that, but that's to fill our gas tank. Maintenance and equipment, we didn't spend as much on that as we thought, and the budget got big at the bottom, and so one of the places that I cut is I cut that in half, which may or may not work. Miscellaneous, I took money out of there too. It was at $15,000 and now it's at $1,000. We left the mowing at $1,500. Office supplies, I bumped that from $750 up to $1,000. The phone is $1,000 a month. Pulpit supply, when I'm not here and we give people gifts, we left $800 in there. Salt is for the water softener. The roof, we have budgeted $15,000, and it's underlined because when we get to the bottom line of all this, I'll show you what's in our savings, and that $15,000 is in the bank. But we'll probably spend that. Special events, we have $1,000 allocated for that. To have our website cost $1,000, and we have $500 budgeted for youth. Anybody have any questions on the stuff that I changed in that? Anything you're not clear at, comfortable with? Okay. Pastor's housing. Here's one. That changed. That actually changed in April from $1,200. If you wonder what it costs to live out on the hill where I do, that's what it costs to live in that house. As $1,450 a year to live in that place. And I'll show you where we got the money to do that in just a minute. But that did change in April. So if you totaled our budget from 2006, it was $63,000 and change. Now, this is where you got to pay attention. The estimated operating expense for this year is really going to practically be $67,000. Practically speaking, we budgeted $63,000, but practically speaking, as best as we can guess, at the end of this month, when we total it all up, it'll be almost $68,000 that we'll spend. Okay, that's practically what we spent. Now, if you total the 2007 budget right at this point, there's $15 difference between what we practically think we're going to spend this year and what we budgeted for 2007. It's $15 more. Now, when you get to the bottom line, there's a major jump. And so I want you to stay with me at this point. that there's stuff on the 2007 budget that wasn't on the 2006 budget. Now, here's kind of the challenging news. Our estimated income for this year is $50,000. We expect that tithes and offerings and giving will give us $50,000. That meant that we spent $17,600, almost $18,000 more than we took in. How can we do that? Well, take money out of savings. We took $24,000 out of our savings and put it into our operating expenses to cover the shortage. How long can you do that? As long as you got money in the bank, you can do that. When you run out of money in the bank, then you can't spend money you don't have. And I'll explain to you how we got money in the bank in a little bit. But the practical side of it is we spend almost $18,000 more a year than we take in. And you can't continue to do that. We have money that we're supposed to be spending, so we are spending it. Now, a pastor's salary did not show up on any of the budgets since I've been here until this year. Don changed that. That wasn't on the budget when I did it around my table, but when Don sat down with the budget, he put that in. And the budget said salary that you guys offered me to come be your pastor. I never asked you for any money. I haven't asked you for a raise yet. All I ask for is more time to play. Every time my contract comes up, I don't ask for money. I want time off. I want to go skiing on the snow. I want to go skiing on the water. I want to go motorcycle riding. I want to take Jules someplace. I don't want more money. I just want more time off to spend it. Anyway, when I came, Don offered me a salary of $38,000. In April, when I finished my taxes and I realized how much it costs to live out on the house in the hill, I asked the board, I said, is it okay if I take some of that $38,000 and put it into my housing? Because there's a little bit of a tax benefit to get it as a housing allowance. I don't pay as much taxes on that as a pastor. So what happens if you take the increase in my housing and add it to the $37,000, you see $38,000. We got all done with the board meeting. Don says, now Wilmer, you got to get up and leave. You got to go up to your Sunday school room, close the door and count to 100. I said, well, okay, if you're going to talk about me, I'm going to slam the door and you'll know I'm in there and I'll count to 100 and then I'm ready or not, I'm coming back. While I was gone, they decided to give Julie and I a 5% pay raise. And it only took the time for me to lock myself in the Sunday school room and pout and count to 100 for them to do that, which brings my salary up to $39,000. When you take that and add it to what's up there, the grand total of your budget is $91,000. When you look across the side of the page, we take in about 50. There's about $40,000 more that you're going to spend next year than you can take in. Unless some of you guys also get pay raises. The good side of giving me a pay raise is, you know, there's more money in the offering every week now. 18, whatever. Jules will do the math on that. But anyway, when you look at that, there's $40,000. So that kind of bothered some of the people at the board that we were presenting a budget to you that's $40,000 above our income. Now, as you look at CD savings money, we have a money market that gets us 4.6. It's got almost $22,000 in it. We've got a LaSalle Bank CD that gets us almost 5%. And it's got almost $20,000 in it. We got a First Federal Bank that gets over 5%, and it's got $20,000 in it. We got a Security Bank that gets over five. It's got $20,000. So you got almost $102,000 in the bank in savings, which is a chunk of change. Now, where did you get all of that money? How'd you do that? Get all that money in the bank, but yet you're spending more than you took in? We got a grant from the denomination to do this pastoral experiment. Let's let Wilmer be an OJT pastor for 3 years. Let's offer to pay him $28,000 to learn how to do that. And over the 3 years, we're spending the 70-plus thousand, almost $80,000 they gave us for this three-year experiment. We have money in the bank that we have to spend for my salary. That's what it was given for. We have to spend it to do that. The bottom line is there's enough money in there for about 18 months to do what we're doing the way we're doing it. In 18 months, the money's all. And when you guys don't have the money, you aren't going to give me money. Because you can't give me money that you don't have. So the exciting part is it's business as usual for a little over a year. But this time next year, the budget thing will be a little bit different in its presentation. So is it a scary thing that we're spending money in the bank? No, it's something we're supposed to do. They gave us money to do this job, and we need to spend it to do what they gave us to do it for. But the practical side of it is, you're going to have less money at the end of the year because 15 grand is coming out of there. One of those CDs is going to get wiped out when the roof gets done. And the other 5 grand, Lori will put in the money market, and we'll spend that on probably on my salary. You know, mathematically, that's the way it's supposed to go. But at least another one of those CDs is going to get wiped out. So when you look at it, two of those are going to go away by this time next year. Does that make sense? And the reason that some of them pay more than others is because the time we're letting them use our money. Those are set up on an incremental income thing that some of them are 9 months, some of them are 6 months, and some of them are 3 months. And then when the three-month one goes out, then it becomes a 9-month one. And then you see how that works. And eventually we'll cash two of them in